Good morning. I want to welcome everyone this beautiful Sunday morning, second Sunday of Easter. We'll go ahead with the announcements. You have a Agape Friends meeting on the 29th at 6:30.
Tomorrow night.
At the office complex, correct. I believe the Silly Youth kids are going out today and singing to the shut-ins. I want to remind everybody about Camp Luther Ridge. That'll be July the 1st or the 3rd. I believe they're still looking for some helpers on that. June the 9th will be Confirmation Sunday. Let's see. I believe that's about it. Got an announcement for the scholarship.
If anyone has scholarship applicants, if they will email me, I can email a copy of the application. They're due by May 26th, but I do believe the office complex and Pastor Matt has a way to email that or to have you a copy at the office complex if you need it. But you can still email me. I'll attach one and send it as soon as I can.
Are there any prayer shawls for today? No prayer shawls. Yes, ma'am. May the 25th, motorcycle ride for the backpack program. If you're a rider, get with Wendy. Anybody you know that rides? Good deal. I've got birthdays. Let's see, I want to wish a happy birthday to Debbie Parsons, Anna Peterson. Happy anniversary to James and Marie Palmer and Donnie and Debbie Parsons. Did we miss anybody on birthdays or anniversaries? All right. Thank
you. I'll wing it on the prayer. Let's pray for these folks. Dear Lord, we thank you for these folks who will be celebrating birthdays and anniversaries today and the rest of this week. Please watch after them. Keep them in your care, and we all celebrate with them as we celebrate with you. Amen. To recognize our pastor this morning, Reverend Charlie Zimmerman. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Please stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open all the desires known, from whom no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry, humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for
of the Church of God and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God of life, you reach out to us amid our fears with the wounded hands of your risen Son. By your Spirit's breath, revive our faith in your mercy and strengthen us to be the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. How are you today? So, I think that everybody's played a game of checkers, right? So you know that there's a little red circle and a little black circle, right? They all look the same, don't they? Has anybody ever played chess? You have? Okay, well, if you haven't, I've got some pieces right here. They all look a little different. They all have something different about them. And a lot of people think, when they think of the church, they think that we're all checkers. But are we? Are we all the same? Do we all love God the same and praise Him the same? No, we need to be chess pieces. We've got to work together. So in the game of chess, all the pieces, the pawn, the knight, the rook, all of them, they have to work together to protect the king. That's how you win the game. You have to protect the king. Well, we're not protecting the king. The king is God, and he's protecting us. But how we're playing the game is we're protecting our faith. So we are all a pawn or a rook or a knight, and we have to work together to show God that we love him, right? Because it would be kind of boring, and we honestly wouldn't get very far if we were all checkers, would we? No. So we all have to use our strengths to help each other. And if we see somebody else has a weakness, we need to help them build that and make it another strength so that we can help each other, right? All right, let's pray. Dear God, please help us to all become chess pieces in your game. Amen. Thank you, guys. I think Mrs. Von Ventura has children's sermon, or children.
Gave you strict orders not to teach in his name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the apostles answered Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Word of God, word of life. Our psalm for today will be spoken responsibly by verse. The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly.
I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord.
The Lord has punished me severely, but he did not give me over to death.
Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you. Give us success.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you.
I will give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.
The second reading is from the first chapter of Revelation. A reading from Revelation. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and on his account all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Well, undoubtedly, you know what this is. It's a label, and they're everywhere. They're on the collars of our shirts and our blouses. They're on our waistbands or on our shorts and pants. They're on packages of food, on the fertilizers we buy, and even our colognes and perfumes. But labels in and of themselves are neutral in character. Their intended purpose is simply to disclose the ingredients or the contents of either what we wear or what we're buying. Now, name brands are a little different. They're a label of a different sort. You probably can't see that one. It's the label for Under Armour. And we see it for things like Banana Republic or Apple, or on the cars we drive, Honda, Toyota, and so on. And all of these are really neutral because they're just trying to identify the manufacturer. And yet, in our culture, we have ascribed to these labels whether they're reliable products or unreliable, whether they're preferable or whether they're not preferable. So labels can be helpful or they can be harmful. There's another type of label, one that people all too readily will pin on you or me, and sometimes we will pin on ourselves personal labels like smart or geek or athletic or bully or meek or shy or fun or attractive. Over the course of my life, I've had a lot of labels slapped on me, some of which I like and some of which I don't like, and I prefer the ones that embolden my own image of myself, like intelligent, witty, fun, easy to be with. But the ones that have a tendency to linger, the ones that are harder for me to shake, are the ones that denigrate, like narrow-minded, stubborn, hard-headed. It's not how I like to see myself. And we seem to be living in a time when labels are unfortunately used to divide us. Conservative or liberal, rural or urban, gay or straight, single, married, divorced, immigrant or citizen. But you know, by themselves, those words that I just shared are neutral. They reveal only a philosophy or a worldview or geography or orientation or status. But it's what you and I attach to those labels that transforms them into instruments that can demean and destroy. Now, the reason I bring up labels is because of what happened to Thomas. What's the label that over the centuries we have pinned on him? Let's say it together, Doubting Thomas. Now I want to ask you, is that a term of endearment or is that a term of derision? And yet a close reading of the gospel accounts reveal that all the disciples had a difficult time believing that Jesus had been raised from the dead. Think about the accounts. The women who first arrived at the tomb thought that the grave had been robbed. The angels had to set the women straight about Jesus being raised. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus didn't recognize the stranger who joined them as they walked along the way until they had invited him into their house and he blessed and broke the bread. Then their eyes were open and they knew who it was. And in today's text, the disciples hiding in the upper room for fear that the Jews would do to them what they had done to Jesus. When Jesus first appears to them, did they recognize him? No, they thought he was an apparition or a ghost. And so the risen Lord had to find a way to change how his followers saw things. And that was difficult not only then, but it's also difficult for you and me now. As a consequence of all of this, I've come to think that Thomas really got a bad rap. Because which of us has not wondered why things in life happen the way they do? Which one of us hasn't doubted at one time or another that God could or would forgive us or even love us when we know what we have thought or what we have done? Or which one of us hasn't struggled with trusting God's word when everything we were experiencing in life was screaming, "Au contraire, it can't be that God is allowing this to happen." So when Thomas declares, "I will not believe unless I see in his hands the nail print and place my finger in his wounds, I will not believe," he speaks for all of us. Seeing is believing is what we say. Or I need to experience this for myself. And when we think those things and say those things, we are one with Thomas. And I also believe that honest doubt is not a contradiction of faith, but an essential quality in a healthy, growing relationship with God. What surprises me in this text is not Thomas's doubt, but rather the evidence for belief that Jesus offers. There's no judgment about what Thomas said. He doesn't take him to task for saying, I just won't believe unless I put my finger in that wound. Nor is there any effort to persuade Thomas with logic or good reason or quoting a bunch of scripture verses. What does Jesus do? He shows him his hands and his side. In fact, if you look at the whole text, there's hardly a breath between the words of peace that Jesus speaks to the disciples and then to Thomas and showing them his scars. So what do you suppose is going on here? Could it be that Christ meets us in our wounded and broken places? The places where you and I are most vulnerable. The places that we label as our weaknesses and imperfections and failures and undesirable characteristics. Thomas comes to belief because Christ's wounds are on display. They're real. They are part of who he is and what he experienced. And so I've come to understand that it's precisely here in our own woundedness and brokenness that you and I are most apt to discover God's presence, God's power, and God's grace. It's in our places of perceived weaknesses that God's power is greatest. There's a wonderful story about a water bearer in India who had two large pots. Each hung on the end of a pole that he laid across the back of his neck. One of the pots had a crack in it. The other pot was perfectly formed. And by the time the water bearer had gone down to the stream, filled both pots up, put them on the pole, walked back up to the path to the master's house, the crack pot had leaked out half of its contents while the other pot was full. So after 2 years of what the cracked pot perceived to be a failure on its part to measure up and deliver what was expected, it spoke to the water bearer. "I'm ashamed of myself." "Why? What for?" asked the water bearer. "Because of my flaws, I've let you down. You didn't get the full value for your efforts." The water bearer smiled and replied. He said, "As we return to the master's house today, I want you to notice the beautiful flowers along the path that we take." And so as they walked up the path, the crackpot looked down and noticed the flowers that were growing along the path. But it still was sad when it got to the master's house because it had leaked out half of its contents. "Did you notice the flowers were only on your side of the path?" the water bearer said. "I've always known about your flaw, and I used it to my advantage. I planted flower seeds on your side of the path, and every day while we walked back from the stream, you've watered them. And for 2 years, I've been able to pick those flowers and decorate my master's table. Without you being just the way you are, he would not have had this beauty to grace his house." Well, if you'll pardon my saying it, we are all cracked pots. In one way or another, we are all wounded, broken, or flawed. And our wounds are part of who we are. At times, the hurts and the disappointments we experience can cause us to question God. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why me? Why now? And you know, I've not discovered a good answer to those questions. But what I have discovered is that only by touching our wounded and broken places, or our touching the wounds and broken places in the lives of others, that our eyes can be opened to see the possibility of where God is coming to us and touching our lives with healing and hope and help. I've discovered that this is the power of 12-step groups that help people deal with addiction, and support groups for people who grieve or try to live with depression or with others, some other kind of chronic or terminal illness. These are safe places where you and I can come and tell our stories about the wounds in our lives and touch the woundedness of others. On a personal level, I found that to be true as I've lived the last 30 years as an insulin-dependent diabetic. Or when the retina in my right eye detached 3 times. Or when my parents died from cancer, as my wife now lives and journeys through breast cancer. Or when I retired and began a new phase of life. By becoming vulnerable and revealing our wounds and brokenness, our failures and inadequacies to other people. They realize that we're not any better or any worse than they are, but that we have certain things in common. And we open ourselves to the people that God sends into our lives who convey to us the very presence and love and grace of our God. Somehow, God uses our cracked and broken lives to touch the lives of other people. So what's your story? I wish there were a time following the service where everybody could tell me where your crack or your brokenness is. Where has the risen Christ touched a wound in your life, and out of that has led you into new life? Was it the loss of a loved one? The loss of a job? A relocation to be closer to children? A divorce? Rejection by friends? The loss of a hoped-for child? Or your ability to live independently? We're all broken. That's what our confession tells us. We've all fallen short. We're all cracked pots. But rather than seeing the label as demeaning, may God's grace help us to see it as a blessing, a means through which and by which God's grace and love and presence is made known to others. So maybe cracked pot is a label you and I can wear proudly. Amen. Join together as we profess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. Together we say, we believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the world and the life of the world to come. Trusting God's promise of new life, we pray for the renewal of the church, the world, and all of creation. Strengthen the witness of your church in all corners of the world. Make us visible signs of your grace so others see your goodness and come to believe. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Breathe life and peace into your creation. Protect homes, fields, and community from damaging winds and floods. Bless environmentalists, engineers, and legislators who work to curb pollution and to ensure clean air and water for us and for future generations. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Give to all government leaders a renewed spirit of humility and servanthood, following the example of Christ, our leader, savior, and ruler. Uphold ceasefires, treaties, and all agreements and agencies that further the cause of peace on earth. Hear us, O God. By the resurrection of the wounded Christ, draw near to those wounded in body or spirit. Liberate all who are bound by grief, abuse, addiction, or pain. Restore faith to the despairing and hope to the suffering, especially those in Sri Lanka, for immigrants seeking asylum and work, for all those who suffer under persecution of any kind. Hear us, O God. Protect and provide for all whom you send out in mission across the world. Empower global mission organizations and partners who provide for the physical and spiritual needs of our neighbors. Hear us, O God. We give you thanks for all the saints who believed in you and who now enjoy eternal life in your name. Sustain us with your everlasting presence, for you are Alpha and Omega, our beginning and end. Hear us, O God. We commend these and all our prayers to you, O God. Come near to us with your saving help, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us turn and welcome one another as we share the peace.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should, at all times and all places, give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Together we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Mercy on us.
And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace. Amen.
Let's pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. May we join together now in the mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.